of us, as we grew up, we remember the joy of playing a game and picking sides, right? Two captains, and they go, I'll take you, and I'll take you. And we knew when we did that, there were always some who would get picked first for one reason or another. And for most of us, there came a time when we were the last one who was picked. Because even though we can all seem like we're very, very equal and very, very similar, there's times when we're just the one on the outside. We're the one who doesn't get chosen. We are the one who ends up all by ourselves. And we know that's not a very nice feeling. It's one of the sad parts of being a human being. Because another sad part about being a human being is that we are very good at making sure that some people are pointed out as strange or different, and they don't get chosen, and they get left out. And that is not something new in our day and age. It happened in the time of Jesus. And the best people for pointing and judging and keeping people excluded were those people we call the Pharisees and the scribes. These religious men who thought they were so good, so holy, who kept all of God's laws, and who loved to point out those whom they considered not quite as good as themselves. Those they considered sinners, those they considered unworthy of God's love, unworthy of their own presence in their lives, because they were just so much better. And one group the Pharisees loved to judge were tax collectors. I'm starting our taxes this week. It's so much fun, isn't it? I still do my own. I'm nuts. But we know how we feel about the IRS today, but in Jesus' day, tax collectors who were Jews working for the Romans were actually considered traitors to their fellow Jews. They were hated, they were reviled, they were seen as the scum of the earth. And Jesus had the audacity to go up to a tax collector named Levi and say, "Follow me." This tax collector, whom the Pharisees thought was only worthwhile to pick on, is the one Jesus picked. And not only did Jesus pick Levi and say, "Follow me," Jesus went over to his house for a big dinner party, which left the Pharisees, "Well, I never," totally upset at this Jesus. "Why do you eat with sinners and tax collectors?" they said to Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus had a very blunt response. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And when Jesus was saying that to the Pharisees, he was not saying, "Oh, you are so righteous and holy, you don't need me." He was not saying that at all. He was calling them hypocrites, which he was so good at doing to them. He was jabbing them because they did not think they were sinners, even though they were. And Jesus reminded them that he came for everyone. You see, it's important for us today, as Christians in the 21st century, to understand that the church is not a museum for good people. Some people in the church even break their parents' clocks. The church is a hospital for the broken. There is a lot of judgment going on in our world. Perhaps you haven't noticed that, have you? And there are those in the church who are very good at judging everyone else outside of the church. "Well, they're not here. What's wrong with them?" And there are many outside the church who look in the church and judge the people who are here. "Oh, they're all hypocrites. They're so busy doing this and that and the other thing." Jesus wanted us to understand that his community of believers is a community that loved and supported one another. As you see this slide, just remember that the word hospital, it's the root of the word hospitality. It is a place where you go for care, to be welcomed, to rest. And the message of Jesus to all is that I choose you. In a world that is so good at judging and pointing out flaws and putting people down, Jesus went to someone like Levi and he said, "I choose you. Not only did he say, I choose you, Jesus said, I want you. Remember having to pick teams, and there's that one poor kid, and the two captains look at each other and say, well, somebody's got to take him. If that was ever you, you know how much that hurt. Jesus went out of his way to show everyone, I want everyone. I want people like Levi. I want sinners. I want tax collectors. I want the prostitutes. I want the foreigners. I want the children. I want the poor. I want those who are ill and who are disfigured. I want those with leprosy. I want those who are possessed by demons. I want all of them. I choose all of them to be mine. And not only did Jesus say he chose them, he showed he chose them when he died on the cross for everyone, including sinners like you and me. And that is the good news. That is the good news of our gospel. And Jesus didn't just choose people. He invited them to come along with them. Levi follows Jesus. He becomes one of his own. He is given a new hope, a new purpose in life. He leaves his tax collecting booth for something greater. Jesus had a way of going to tax collectors. The most famous of all the tax collectors Jesus invited to follow him was Zacchaeus, the little guy hiding in the tree. And when he comes down, he is a changed man who will be charitable beyond belief. And to everyone who's grumbling and griping that Jesus would choose a tax collector like Zacchaeus, Jesus says, today salvation has come to his house because he too is a son of Abraham. And Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. The message of Jesus is that God has chosen us. He's chosen all of us. And this began a long time before Jesus. It began with the people of Israel, called God's chosen people in the Old Testament. God chose these people. God made with them a covenant relationship, not because they were so great, so holy, so wonderful, because you know what? They were not. But God chose them. It was all of his doing. And when Moses called the people of Israel together just before they crossed the Jordan, to head into the promised land which the Lord had given them, Moses let the people know about the choice they had to make. Because God had given them his commandments. And Moses declares to the people, surely this commandment that I am commanding you today, it's not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. God chose Israel for a relationship. And God said, you can do it. You can keep this relationship. Moses went on to say, this word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and on your heart for you to observe. This is a close relationship. God wants a personal relationship, as close as your mouth and your heart with your people. And Moses told the people of Israel, you have a choice to make. You have to choose which direction you will go. He says to them, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. So choose life. God told his people to choose the right thing. And he said, don't just choose this for yourself, but choose life in order that you may live and that your descendants may live. Because that's one of the really important things we so often do not consider about our choices. Our choices affect others as well. None of us lives in a vacuum. We may think this, we may want this, we may want to say my decisions, my choices, they're just mine, they don't affect anyone else, but you know what? That is a pile of bunk. Every choice we make, it will affect others. And some of the choices we make will affect those who maybe aren't even born yet. So we had better be careful about the choices we make. And unfortunately, the people of Israel, they made bad choices. They knew, they picked the bad news. They picked the bad choices. They did not worship the Lord with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. They worshiped all the false gods of Canaan and Egypt. And the people of Israel, they ended up being punished by the Lord. He didn't want to do it, but their sins were so great, they were so recalcitrant in their inability to do what God wanted, that God destroyed his own people. Not totally, but he punished them, and it was their own fault. They had no one else to blame. We're called to make good choices, folks. That's what the play was all about. That's what God's word is all about. And making good choices really is a big deal. And we can't ever fool ourselves into thinking it's not. The message of the Bible, it says it again and again and again to us. Choose life. It's a message that's over 3,000 years old. And Jesus tells us how we choose life. It's very simple, says Jesus. We love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. It's what Moses told to the people of Israel when they got the Ten Commandments. It's what Jesus reminds us in the Gospels. How we choose life is very simple. I love this picture. We love our neighbor as ourselves. How would it be if every time we look at someone else, we hold a mirror and see ourselves and we ask ourselves, how would I act here? Jesus tells us it's very simple. We come and we follow him. Wherever he leads us, we follow him. God has chosen you. Your baptism declares God has chosen you. That is wonderful. That is good news. God, the first person God chooses in the Old Testament is Abram. This man who has no children, no land, and God promises him more descendants than stars in the sky. He promises him the land he hasn't even gone to yet. And he says this to Abram as well, that you will be blessed to be a blessing to others. Here's what I want you to remember from my sermon today. Ditto. God has blessed you to be a blessing to others. God has chosen you, made you so that you will be a blessing to others. So think about that. Keep that in the forefront of your mind with every choice, every decision you make. Will this choice, will this decision, will it hurt others? Will it affect them in a bad way? Or will my choice, my decision, be a blessing to others as well? If we remember that, then we remember to choose life. Then we remember to choose blessing. You're going to have choices this week, folks. A lot of them. You'll have a lot of choices next week, next year, every year of your life. May all of our choices be made to serve the Lord and to be a blessing to others.